Cults Part 2, or when I say Cults Part 2, the New Age Movement Part 2, that's where we are. We've been doing a study in the cults, and we started with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Science and Transcendental Meditation and Unitarian Universalists, and we've gone all the way. And now we've come to what is called the New Age Movement. We spent a couple of weeks on that. New Age Movement is unique and different because instead of it being just a particular group, it's all kind of groups that all kind of come together with this Eastern mysticism, pantheism, all of that all tied together. So once you do this, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we continue in our study. We're looking at the group teaching that we say that we're looking at different groups that are contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes people use the Bible, sometimes they don't when they're in these groups, but we're looking at one called the New Age Movement. And what we find is that the New Age Movement is a mixture of humanism and pantheism all rolled into one. That's really what it is. It's Eastern mysticism. In the United States, nobody would come in, or at least until recent years, nobody would come in and say, we're going to look at Eastern mysticism and Hinduism and Buddhism and all that. Nobody would follow that. But now they've got it all in through all different kind of things that people are even turning to that. And there's some weird things. The next lesson, if we finish this today, fine. If we don't, we'll keep going. But part 3, we're going to actually look at some detail at Eckhart Tolle and Oprah, that tied together. We're going to look at Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard and his Dianetics. And then we're going to look at that guy, Deepak Chopra, which is sort of the meditation guy. We're going to look at those three in a little bit more detail in that final lesson, just so you can see what they write, what they say, so you can have an idea on that. Our goals, of course, is to know what we believe and why we believe it, so that we can be grounded, and then to be ready to give an answer. So, twofold. You want to know what you believe, and that's one reason when we study cults, we're not studying cults just so we can know what they believe. We're studying cults so that we can be grounded in what we believe, and then we'd be ready to give an answer to anyone for the hope that is within us. We want to gain an understanding of this New Age thing. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll be going through it. Next week, there's going to be I got a video and some other things. Last week, we had a whole bunch of stuff. This week, I've got just a few things to read to you as we talk through it. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you. I just love being in here, Lord. I just thank you for our Sunday school class and the opportunity that we have to study anything we want to study. And Lord, as we've been looking at these different groups and going all the way down to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Transcendental Meditation and Christian Science and Unitarians and all of these things, Lord, we're now thinking about what's in our country is often called the New Age Movement. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to understand it and see what some of these people believe and how it all ties into Eastern mysticism and just some weird things, Lord, that we know are contrary to the Scripture. The goal of our lives, Lord, is to know you, to know the power of the resurrection, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, to be godly men and women, to know what we believe and why, and then to be ready to give an answer to others for the hope that is within us, to be able to help others come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, we pray that if it's your will, that we'd have opportunities to talk with people from these different groups and that we'd be able to give them truth. And Lord, we know that your word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it never comes back void but accomplishes the purpose. We pray that your word will touch lives, and some of these people who are caught up into these things would see the truth and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. So Lord, we just ask you now, teach us as we look through these things today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we say end times, most everybody likes to deal with end times. We did a study, I think, in Sunday school not too long ago, and it was on, you know, the end times things, and we looked at the tribulation and the second, you know, the rapture and the second coming and the kingdom. We that was a lot of fun. And in fact, if you mention end times, people will show up. People will want to study it. I remember one time we decided on a Sunday night, we'd been having about 70 come on Sunday night, and I said, next week we're starting the book of Revelation. About 170 showed up. And then what was so funny, of course, if you notice, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation aren't really dealing with end times. So by the time we got through the first three chapters, the numbers had, because the people were saying, I just want all that weird stuff. And the truth is, they're weird, but the Bible's not. I'm just kidding. Okay, what we want to do is, are we in the end times? I mean, when in the end times? Well, the truth is, we're in the end times right now, because Hebrews chapter 1 says that in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. Any time after Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, that's the end times. So we are in the end times. But what's supposed to happen as these end times seem to get further and further down? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, excuse me. I'm in 2 Timothy. I knew that didn't look right. I thought, you know, that can't be right. I must have looked at it wrong. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. He says, in the end times, in the latter times, that's what we're in now, people are going to move away from the truth. He says people will move away from the faith. And when you see the faith, it's talking about the body of truth that we hold to, the Bible. People are going to turn away from the Bible. They're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. All of this stuff, this New Age stuff and all these, it's from the devil because it's not true. It's doctrine of demons, and it's pretty powerful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, guard what has been trusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and strayed away from the faith, gone away from the faith, remember? And that's what we see today. There's people out there all the time saying, well, this is what's right, or this is what's right for me. In fact, the bottom line is what you hear all the time is, well, that works for you, but this is what works for me. This is what's right for me. And what we said, one of the tenets of New Age is that everybody decides their own truth. The second thing I want you to turn over is look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 3. Paul deals with this when he's talking to Timothy. These are called pastoral epistles because Timothy, the letters were written to Timothy to entrust to leadership and to local churches. So these are truths that churches need to understand. And he says this, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, meaning they don't want to hold to the sound doctrine. They want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. To have your ears tickled mean you want things that you're interested in. You want to hear this. I've had people say, I don't want the same old stuff. Yeah, well, the Bible, some of the Bible is the same old stuff. It is. It's over and over. It's grace through faith and the Bible and Jesus and salvation. It's the same stuff. A lot of it is. And they don't want that. And they say, wanting their ears tickled, they want something different. They accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They'll find people that will teach them what they want to be taught, what they want to hear, what they want to talk about. Notice it goes on to say, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. They'll go from sound doctrine to myths. This is what we're seeing really in the New Age movement. And in fact, all the cults, that's what it is. But we're specifically thinking of the New Age movement. People are turning from sound doctrine, the Word of God. They're following the doctrine of demons, myths, empty and false knowledge. What we're seeing is a movement led by all different kind of people and various teachers leading that way. If you wanted to say New Age movement, what it is God is all is God, man is God. That's how you could put it together. God is all is God, pantheism, and man is God. That's what it all boils down to. Pantheism and humanism all rolled into one. And unlike the other cults, they're not necessarily just one organization. They're great diversity, loose networks, organizations with a lot of the same goals and beliefs. Their ultimate plan, one government, one economy, one religion, one world order and peace. If you remember that, I didn't bring it today, but that article, USA Today, what we want to do is stop crime, stop war, stop disease, stop terrorism, have harmony between people. Now, the thing you got to recognize, there will never be the harmony that these people want until the Prince of Peace comes, Jesus Christ, till he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not going to be possible. There is a spiritual awareness in our country, but it's not turning to true spirituality of the Bible, but it's to the supernatural. The supernatural such as horoscopes, fortune-telling, channeling, transcendental meditation, yoga, past life regression. I didn't brought any of that up. Past life regression. You can see what some of your past lives were. You can get a hypnotic state and go back and find out what you used to be like in another life, in another way. Or you can have the reincarnation in which you know that how you are now, you're going to come back in another form. You're hoping it's a person, but it could be something else. Who knows what it is? There's a spiritual void in so many people's lives that they don't turn to biblical Christianity, but to a spiritual aspect of what we're calling New Age movement. As I said, Norm Geisler makes this quote. He said, it's a broad coalition of various networking organizations who are not even aware of necessarily of their connection in what we call the New Age. I put this up that we've talked about this before, that this type of thought has moved into every area, from religion to media to entertainment to music to school to businesses. I got to go to to hear the Liverpool Legends. I think it was, I can't remember what night it was, Thursday night, I think. And they're the guys that do the Beatles. They look just like the Beatles. They sound just like the Beatles. When I was in the 7th, 8th grade, that the Beatles were, coming out and big and everything. And I can still remember, all the songs like I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then by the time I got into college, the Beatles had changed to something else. They had become the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and the music was different. Still good music, but it was all based on something else. And then as they got a little further along, they changed again and got in touch with Maharishi Mahayogi. Did you know that? And they got into Eastern mysticism, My Sweet Lord, and all those songs. And so it's in places that you don't even think about. You don't even know. It's in media, entertainment, music, schools, business, this whole movement. Now, we've gone over this before, but I want to touch on it one more time. That if you go ahead and go to the next slide, there are the big overview or a brief overview of the New Age movement is this. And I gave you those seven things that was on your other sheet. I don't think it's on this sheet, is it? Did I didn't put it again? Did I? Yeah, I did. There. If you can fill it in if you want to. But the six or the seven things that is the big overview of the New Age movement, first of all, is monism, which means everything is one. Everything comes together. Everything and everyone is interrelated, interdependent. Humans, animals, rocks, God, air, everything is all one. Everything is one. Now, they all build on each other because since everything is one, then pantheism, everything is God. God is in everything. God is all is God. Everything has the divine. Everything is the divine. So the chair is God. The air is God. The grass is God. You're God. Everything is God. That's pantheism. God is in everything. The third thing is, since that's true, then we are God. We as a human being, as this is what they say, we're just ignorant of our divinity. Well, in fact, we're going to see it this morning when we go through some of this. One of the problems is we've forgotten that we're God. We just hadn't realized who we are. Shirley MacLaine says, each soul is its own God. You must never worship anything or anyone other than yourself, for you're God. That's what she says. The fourth thing is the mind. The mind creates the reality. Whatever you think is right, whatever you think is real and right, is real and right. That's why sometimes they move to the altered states of consciousness, transcendental meditation, sometimes drugs, sometimes other things, to say, I've got to get to that altered state so I can have a different reality. And then experience validates the truth. Whatever they experience, whatever they think happens is what's right. We know that the Bible is just the opposite, that the Bible validates your experience. In other words, you go to the Bible, the experience doesn't validate the Scripture. And yet theirs is that way. The Scripture, the experience validates whatever they consider is truth. They would say something like, I know this is right because this is how I felt about it. That's what they think. Then there's always some form of reincarnation involved in this. And the karma is a big word. The idea of how you live now and then you're going to die or you're going to come in some other life force and then you'll come back in something else. And we just saw it in John Travolta's son when he died. They said that they knew he was a life force, that he was a spirit life force, and that they were glad that now he's gone on to something else. They don't know what that is, but he's gone on to something else. And they're happy that he would be released from his body and go on to something else. And so this reincarnation deal, and you know it in the Eastern mysticism religions, the reincarnation could be that you could come back as a cow, you could come back as a bug, you could come back as an animal, you could come back as something else, and that's why some of those animals are so sacred to them, because that could be one of their relatives. We just never know. And then the last thing is relativeness. There's no absolutes. There are no absolutes. Two conflicting statements can be true. This is right and this is right. Well, one of these is wrong. No, they're both right, because there is no absolutes in that sense. So this movement goes by names like Aquarian Controversy, Cosmic Consciousness, Human Growth Potential. It's really Eastern mysticism is what it is. Man is the center. Man seeks to get in touch with his inner self. That's where you find God, because you are God. Everything's God. Some of the things that are expressed in this movement, just I want you to think about it. God is impersonal. There's an eternal universe because the universe really is God. Everything is cyclical in nature. There is reincarnation. Man evolves into God. God and man are all the same. There's continuous revelation from beyond. We're going to see it in a little bit. We're going to talk about these guys getting this new revelation. Sort of the Eddie Rector factor. Remember we talked about Eddie Rector, my friend, who came down that day and he heard angels' voices singing and he thought it was coming through his stereo system. to his TV, and he realized that it was coming through the TV, and it wasn't on, so he unplugged the TV, and it was still coming through, and then he got all this revelation, and he's supposed to write the third part of the Bible. But y'all know that, and I think Eddie's kind of moved off into a different realm now. Who knows? But there's a continuous revelation. There's occult practices. And by the way, after we get through with the New Age movement, we are going to look at the occult for just a little bit, a couple of Sundays maybe on that. The One World Order is the key. The New Age movement is opposed to Christianity. It really is. Where a person might say, look, everybody can believe anything they want to believe, except if you really believe true Christianity, because none of that matches. Benjamin Cream, you remember I told you about Benjamin Cream? He's the guy that started the Terror Center, that put that full-page article in USA Today that I quoted from last week. Here's what he says. To my way of thinking, the Christian church has released into the world a view of the Christ which is impossible for modern man to accept. One and only Son of God, sacrificed by a loving Father, saves us from our sin, blood sacrifice. He says that's not acceptable to people today. He's saying that the view that the church, the body of Christ, the church, has told about the Christ, that's the way they use it. See, he calls Christ Lord Maitreya. There is the Christ. There is the Christ spirit being. There is the Christ that is coming. Not Jesus Christ, of course, but there's... And so he says what we've done is we've come up with a Christ that doesn't fit. Our Christ is the Son of God. Our Christ was sacrificed by a loving Father. Our Christ is supposed to save people from sin. He says that's unacceptable to people. Well, I have a handout for you that goes along with your blue one, and that is this orange one, and it takes us to the issue of the New Age movement says we have a problem. And here's how we solve the problem. So if you notice, I've got the problem, the New Age movement problem is we, meaning the human race, we've forgotten that we're gods. And so they've got the solution for things. Seek our higher consciousness, awaken the God within us, cultivate questions, use spirit guides. So what I want to do just briefly is I want us to think about the problem, okay? We've forgotten that we are gods. See, overall issue and thought of the New Age movement is that all people are gods. Remember, as I said a while ago, monism, everything's one. Pantheism, everything's God. Human beings, then, we're God. We've forgotten that we're God. We just don't know who we are. Wait till I read to you L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, I didn't bring it today, but wait till you read. If you've never read Dianetics, if you've never read his stuff, you know, it's unbelievable what he holds to. Scientology. I mean, to be honest with you, because, you know, he wrote novels. I think what he really came up with and said was Scientology was just one of his novels. That's all it is. It's made up stuff. I mean, there was an evil thing who took, an evil being who took all these human beings, and they were in another galaxy, and he took them to the United States, took them to this world, put them on this world, put a bunch of bombs, put them all by volcanoes, put them by bombs, and blew them all up. And so they're disembodied spirits, and then we've eventually got bodies, and we've forgotten that we're not supposed to have these bodies. Is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard of in your life? And people follow that. We've forgotten who we are. We fail to realize that God is within each of us. Shirley MacLaine, again, the tragedy of the human race is we've forgotten that each one of us are divine beings. We're gods walking around and we just don't realize we're gods. So the solution is seek higher consciousness. I mean, that's what it is. We got to tune the brain to this new level of thinking. What is Eckhart Tolle's books called? A new world, and all, you know, and what if you read it on the back, it'll say we've got to start thinking a different way, you know. And this is what they want to say: we got to think a different way. We got to realize who we are. We've got to move in this new level of thinking. And whether we do a breathing technique, or whether we do transcendental meditation, or whether we do something else, whether we have to alter the brain chemistry by drugs, whatever it takes, we got to move into a different level of consciousness. So we can realize who we are. Second is, we've got to awaken God in us. We must realize that we are God. And we have to look to the inside to discover this. Theodore Roszak, one of the New Age writers, says, we're an unfinished animal. The goal is to awaken the God who sleeps at the root of the human being. So all of us have God inside of us. We need to wake up God inside of us. We just forgot that. We forgot who we are. Wake up, God who sleeps in us. I didn't know God ever slept. The third thing is cultivate questions. doubt, to encourage doubt, to question the traditions, to question the Bible. In fact, when you read these things, they'll all talk about that the Bible's not real, the Bible's not true, and you know, all those kind of things, and that each person has to solve their own problems, each person is God, all of these things. The bottom line is to drop any kind of belief that doesn't aid what they're trying to do. And then the last thing is use spirit guides, channeling, transcendental meditation, visualization, all of those kind of things. You remember I read that thing to you from that school about where they had the children lay down and said, imagine where you are and you're walking up and there's going to be this wise man you're going to see. Walk up the path. Remember the path because you're going to come back here. Ask the wise man some things. Sit by the fire. You'll see the wise man in your mind. You can ask him questions. He'll ask you questions. He'll give you a present. Take the present. Come back. Remember, you want to go back to this wise person. I mean, that's just a different consciousness. That's I don't know. It's amazing. John Lilly writes, I have come upon guides. They may be members of a civilization hundreds of thousands of years before ours. There was a woman. I'm not sure where she is right now because this has been several years ago, but her name is J.Z. Knight. She was in Oregon, the great Northwest. And she's a channeler. And this is from the New York Times, and it says, J.Z. Knight says she is the embodiment of a 35,000-year-old man, and she speaks, this man speaks through her, she's a channeler. This article goes on to say that over the past year, scores of people from many middle-class women have left their homes around the country and in Canada and have moved to the Pacific Northwest to live near this 40-year-old woman, J.Z. Knight, who says she's the embodiment of a 35,000-year-old man. And so you come to her with your questions, and then she brings up this ancient thinker man who will answer your questions for you. She's just a channeler. She says, this is not my information. This information comes from this 35,000-year-old man who lived and knows and gives all this information. And I mean, it's just, and I can't even imagine somebody would go to somebody and say, okay, bring up that thing. I got a question about my credit card. Okay, would you tell me, what do I do here? What do I do? It's just amazing to me. By means of cards, horoscopes, we get in touch with guides who can give us more information. Well, let's tie it into the big three, okay? What are the big three? The big three is the Bible, Jesus Christ, and salvation. The Bible, of course, is the written revelation from God. Jesus Christ is God, and then the whole issue of salvation. That's the three big areas that we've been talking about every time we deal with a group. So let's talk about what do they think about the Bible and the revelation. Well, we say the Bible is God's word, is the source of truth and authority, but for them, Bible is not the revelation. There is a continuous revelation. By mediums, prophets, they continue to get revelation. God's on the inside. Benjamin Cream says he has a telepathic communication with another being. And he'll say this thing descends, I'm reading from him. It descends on me, forms a cone within me, this light, this emotional outflow. I can hear inward words. He calls this the call of the true spirit of Christ, the energy of the cosmic Christ to outflow to the audience. Now, what he is saying is there is the Christ. We're not talking about Jesus Christ, but their Christ, their Lord Maitreya. Benjamin Cream says he can get into a trance and he gets a telepathic communication from the Christ, the energy of the cosmic Christ, and then he can give a message to people. Spangler, who is also one of these, he says this, I find my conscience in contact with a force or presence. It could not be described as a being, but a point of revelation, a mirror of some sorts. This results in my six statements, my six communications were put into a booklet, which is called The Birth of the New Age. He's written a little book, Spangler has written a book called The Birth of the New Age. And this being, whatever it was, this point of reference, this revelation of a mirror type thing has given him information. He's written a book. J.Z. Knight, Chandler, Shirley MacLaine, they all say they found God inside who gives them revelation. Benjamin Cream speaks of contacting the Lord Maitreya. Do people really think that inside of them is God? And that there's some ability that God's given them? Okay, this is an article from the Ocali. This has been a few years ago, but a woman came to OSU. Her name was Nita Lee, and she's a psychic. And what she says is, I have the ability to see things. And she said, but now everybody has this ability because we're all God inside of us and everything, and we have the ability to see things. But I have that ability because I've worked on it a lot more than anybody else, and I can do it better and faster. And here's what she says. She says, I really do have the gift of sight. I can see like Michelangelo could paint. Sometimes I miss, but not very often. Miss what? Miss her prophecies, miss her statements. So let me ask you something. If you're from God, do you ever miss? And if you're an Old Testament prophet and you missed, what happened to you? They killed you. So she better be thankful it's not Old Testament. Every living human being has the same thing I do, and you can improve on it with 5 minutes of meditation a day. I don't do one thing you don't do. I just do it a lot easier. Sometimes people call it women's intuition. Sometimes men call it a gut feeling. It's that instinct that animals live by. She said in 1975, overwhelmed by the death of her son, Kim, she contacted Dr. Donald E. Scrugg and was hypnotized so she could say goodbye to him. Dr. Scrugg realized under hypnosis, Nina Lee could travel anywhere and tell him what she was seeing. So while she was hypnotized, she could go to different places, different worlds, different things, and she could tell him. Lee said, the spirit is what allows people to see without their eyes. And that's why I can see anything back in time. People believe that for fortune telling and soothsayers are from the devil. Lee says what is worst is that when people don't get in touch with their own psychic powers. It's important for people to be in touch with their inner self, Lee says, because your inner self is really all that counts. Your brain and your body is going to go back to the earth someday, but your spirit's never going to die, remember? It's a reincarnation. It's a secular thing. It's going on and on and on. Death and dying are not bad, she said. What is bad is when a human being lives his whole life and never understands his inner self. It's really the neatest thing man has going for him, his own inner self. His spirit is the only thing that's going to last forever. Well, she's wrong, because your body's going to last forever, because you're more than just a spirit being. You're a human being, and the body that you have, even though it will die and decay, God's going to raise up a brand new body. It's going to be a resurrected body, and you will live forever, not just as a spirit being floating around somewhere, but as a human being in your body. It's called a glorified body. Now, there are people who go up to people like this and say, tell me about my uncle. Tell me about this. Tell me about this. What vision do you see? She's part of the New Age movement, Transcendental Meditation, Hinduism. She probably doesn't even really know it. She just thinks she's got a gift. 2 Timothy says all scripture is inspired by God. The book of Revelation and Deuteronomy says don't add to or change the scripture. If you're going to be a prophet, you better be right every time. I remember when Jean Dixon, that was when I was younger, Jean Dixon was a person who was always a prophet, and she had told fortunes and stuff. And I remember she came to speak at Delta State when I was in college. And so I decided to go because I thought what she was going to do was talk about a bunch of weird stuff. She didn't. She just started talking about life and how to have a successful life. And a couple of us guys who had gone to hear her talk about weird stuff, we got up and left. But, you know, she did start off by saying, I'm known for my prophecies. Most of the time I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. You're not a prophet of God if you're ever wrong once. Was that the second bell? Oh, shoot. Okay, here's what we need to do. I don't know how to get to this. I'll have to save this one for next week. Somebody brought me, I'm just going to tell you what this is. Somebody brought me a book that schools are distributing through the Scholastic Book Club. It is called Conversations with God. It's for teens. There's two of them, two books. Conversations with God and Conversations with God for Teens by Neil Wallach. Sounds harmless. But it goes on, and there's a lot of stuff in it. Offer purports to answer various questions asking kids using the voice of God. However, the answers that are given are not biblical based. In fact, go against the scripture. So I'll read some of this next week. But anyways, here's something in schools even now that somebody just brought me that they're saying, here's a good book, kids. It's called Conversations with God. You'll like it. But the answers are totally contrary. Here's one. His reply, his question is, I'm living with my boyfriend, and my parents say I should marry him because I'm living in sin. Should I marry him? His reply is, who said you're sinning? Not me. You're not sinning against me because you've done nothing wrong. Another questions God about forgiveness of sins. God replies, I do not forgive anyone because there's nothing to forgive. That's what's in his book for teenagers. So it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Okay, we got to stop. We'll finish this part. We'll get into what do they say about Christ. We'll do a little bit of that, and then we'll get into part three, and that's where we're going to get into a whole bunch of reading stuff from these other people so you can just see what they're doing. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for something that we know is true and that we can hold to and we can believe and we can live out. It is your revelation, your word. Lord, we know that some people are just so confused and they just believe anything. Lord, we know that if they fail to believe in the truth, they will fall for anything else. Lord, would you just use us to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that's in us. Help us to understand these things and help us to be ready. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.